Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Boy, we got a show for you guys today. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey.
And I want to tell you guys, we got Miss Mary Griffin. She's going to be our special, special, special guest today. And this lady here is doing a lot of amazing work into the communities. And y'all just sit back while Miss J will take this opportunity to bring Miss Mary on air with us to right now.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And you know, if you're listening online, you can just dial in on our 607-203-5336 and select 1 to join the conversation. And if you're listening by phone, just select 1 and join us in the conversation. First of all, I'm very excited to have Miss Mary here. Man, she, like John said, she's doing a lot of great things. But before we get started in what she's actually doing, Miss Mary, why don't you give the audience a little bit of information about who you are? Just give them a little taste before we dive into what you're doing.
Well, I am sorry, I'm a little nervous. this is a ministry of mine that I started, and I've been doing it for 21 years, but prior to that, I was doing it without even acknowledging that it was a ministry. So I am a native of Pennsylvania, Macungie area, EMAS, and I am trained as a horticulturist by trade. And so that was the route I was going prior to God calling me.
Hmm. No, a lot of people always talk about, and I'm one of those, that I believe that we all have gifts, and I believe that we all have different assignments. Some may be similar, but they're always something different because we're all individuals. And so when you say that you was doing something else, and then I guess you had an enlightening moment that this was your ministry. What was that like for you? What happened to make you, because like you said, you've been doing it indirectly for years. What made that change? What made it different this time? What made you say, wait a minute, this is what I got to do?
Well, I was working as a caseworker for a while, and it was just, I call it giving birth, so to speak. Mm. I just felt it was in my soul, in my spirit, that this is something that God was wanting me to do. And knowing that the way I was raised, I had to have a job and to do all the responsible things that we're supposed to do as adults. And that
right.
means, you know, you work and you get a home and you're married and all those wonderful things, children. And so I thought I was doing all those things, and this is where God wanted me to be. And
exactly.
when I was a caseworker, he was leading me to take care of his kids, so to speak. And so I actually quit my job. And at that time, we had just built our home. My son was 2 years old, and I had a four-year-old. And so I had to work. And so, you know, I was on the choir. We sang about it. We prayed about God. We've done all these things and saying how God takes care of you. And then all of a sudden, a position where I had to prove it.
Hello.
So when he called me, I had to make a decision on depending on God that he would take care of me, or I just continue to work and rely on my own understanding. So I quit my job, and I worked for the government, actually. And I came home and told my husband, look, I just quit my job, and we only had our house 5 months. So, you know, and it was, we had bills and stuff. So.
Right. Responsibilities.
Right, right. So I opened up. I took all my savings, my insurance I cashed in, and I opened up at a church basement for 6 months. And we outgrew the basement within that six-month period. And I was looking for a building, and so I walked up and down our main street, which is Hamilton Street in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I seen this building, and I was like, okay, I'm going to call the guy and see if he can rent it to me. Mind you, I didn't have much money because I only cashed in, and trust me, my savings and my life insurance policy wasn't all that much.
Right,
so
right. I can say it. Yeah, yeah.
And so when I called the guy, he says, I'm sorry, we already rented it out, but I know a guy that has a place up the street. So I called him, I met him, and I knew right then and there that this was God. When I met this man, Mr. Finkelstein, he had said, I believe in you, and I'm going to give you this space, $3 for 3 months. I knew right then and there that I was in God's grace, and this is what I was supposed to do.
Absolutely. I love that story because I'm always talking about walking in your faith. You know, it's easy to talk it, but when you are really walking in it, that's when you really see the blessings, you know, and you see things open up and you see things change. And you like even the small things, you know, you got a no first, but a bigger yes was waiting. What if you just would have took that no? He said, well, I got another number. You said, well, that's all right. I want it this place. I don't want that.
Right.
You would have missed out on a blessing. And I think sometimes we do that. When it doesn't come in the form or the shape that we want, sometimes we overlook stuff that he's putting there for us, for our youth. You know, so you were humbled enough to take that number and call that man. Not only did you not have no money, but he gave it to you for $3 for three a month. Who does that in this day and time? That's how your spirit works.
Well, you know one thing, I agree with you, Ms. J, and I was going to have her repeat that to the audience because, and the reason for that is because there's so many people out there want to do things, but money is not, you know, they have a problem with money. But you see, you letting people, you a testimony. God put you on this, did that for you to testify. When you have faith, you walked in the faith of God. And for $3, for nobody but God, I'm going to tell you that right now.
You better believe it.
Yes.
Angels were coming, baby. They had your back. And we always talk about that, me and John. And even on the show, we always say, it just step out. You just don't know what's waiting for you until you step. Long as you stand in one spot, of course you're not going to see a way. You're not going to understand what your assignment actually is to its fullest potential. You're not going to see anything if you're standing still. But as soon as you step, you'll see. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy all the time and it's not going to be perfect. But if you don't move, you don't know.
Yes. That's correct.
You know what amazed me is the name of your organization, The Caring Place. That's power right there within itself. We didn't find, you know, it's a lot of organizations, you know, out there, you know, and I mean really good organization, but you're not going to find too many. When you see the word caring, in something. That's, to me, that's just me, how I perceived it when I first saw that, to where it's, well, you know, like, hey, this is power within itself, because everybody, you know, want to be cared for. You know, they want you to care for them. You know what I mean? They want you to love them. And caring for somebody don't mean as though you, you know, you're giving them money and feeding them and stuff. That is just caring for them. It's giving them that you know, that assurance that you there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also represents love. When you throw in the word caring, there has to be some part of an action of love, because you don't care. You don't act on something you don't care about. You don't act on something you don't love it. You know, it has a passion there. And one of the things I like that you talked about, it was like the growth surprised you. And I you know, and it's, I think sometimes what happens is we don't know our power until we unleash it, because we don't use our gifts to their fullest potential. And then when they happen, our eyes are all big, like, wow, was that me? But it's always sitting there waiting on us. And I, like John said, you stepped out in that. And I am big on, I said, every day, walk in faith, walk in faith. It doesn't have to be your girlfriend's faith, your mother's faith, your daughter, whoever. It has to be your individual faith and belief in yourself, and that you are the greatest. You know, you are, because we are great in our own, you know, way. And like you had, I think you started with 60 kids. Now you have over 250. Is that correct?
It's 550 kids here.
That's a big jump from what you initially started off with.
Yes, it is.
You're addressing the need. And what I like, you work with the kids I like. I mean, I like all kids, don't get me wrong, but I really gravitate to the kids that people consider the ones that are not going to make it. I call them, you know, the leftovers, you know. They used to call them at-risk kids. They call them all kind of things. But it's the kids that nobody want to work with. And I commend you for that, because they're not the easiest kids to work with. And but somebody has to do it. And the fact that you're taking that opportunity to do that, I mean, just shows a lot about your heart. What made you take on that? Because you could have took on the goody-good-two-shoe kids that do their homework and everything and still be a good leader. But what made you take on the kids that no one else wanted to take on?
Well, it's actually God's doing, because he said take care of my kids, but he never stipulated what kind of kids. I opened the door, and these are the kids that came through the door. And my kids, I call them my babies. My babies, they come in many different situations, and usually they're quite broken. And when you come through the door, we're old school. It's like going to grandmom's house. We may not have a lot of anything, but we have so much to give them. And that is our love and our nurturing and home-cooked meal, you know. And so and plus we are all academic, so we focus on education. And that's a wide and it's a broad area where we educate them as far as their manners on up to their schoolwork. And so we do whatever it takes. When we were going through this, we never had a lot of money, never. And I used to, going through this 21 years now in the same spot, and we purchased the building, by the way, almost 10 years ago. So, and it's 86,000 square feet of space, so we have four floors in a large office building. And we had literally only 3 years we had a major grant in all those years. We have been doing so many things to try and keep this place open. And it's only God's grace that he allows us to still be there. And we always have more than we did last year. And it's not about the money, even though that's hard to say. We have bills to pay, but it's about walking with God and saying, you're our sole provider. You're it. Because we have, to this day, we are 7 years with no grants at all. None.
So I know you talk about the grants, but I want to talk more about, a little bit more on the kids. What, you know, being at-risk children, Oh, that's what you stated they were. They're all not open and receptive to discipline. They're not open, even if you're feeding them. You know, because I've worked with, you know, kids off the street, they actually have a different mentality than some, which I guess people call the norm, whatever we consider normal as a kid.
Yes.
You working with them, all of them are not receptive. What are some of the challenges that you run across as far as the kids are concerned?
The young men respecting women. We have almost all women in our organization. We have a few men, but mostly all women. And because they have the lack of respect for women, they come in and they think that they can say and do. And I, as your grandparents, you know how your grandmother was or your mother was, old school. We have rules to follow. If you don't like them, please come back another day with better behavior. And that is our spiel that we give all our kids that does not want to abide by our rules. And do you know they will come back? I have sent them out because of bad behavior. And they come right back the next day, the next week, and they have to apologize, and we keep moving. And they get a hug and somewhat of a conversation and about their behavior, and then we move on, and it's forgotten as God does us.
Yeah.
So we have everything.
That's a good
Yeah, good question.
Yes.
Now, you've been doing this for how long, you say, 10 years?
21 years.
21 years. That's a long time. So that makes you a professional at this. Having a lot of problems in our communities, not only in your town, but throughout the United States. Tell the audience, or tell us, you know, what do you see that's one of the major problems in the communities? And give us a solution to maybe we can apply, that we can apply to maybe ease the problem or maybe correct the problem.
I think it is the lack of attention, giving our children our undivided attention. And I know that we have single parents. Most of our kids have single parents, and they must go to work or they have other things. But you have to know that your life is your children's until they grow up. And so that is where they are falling between the cracks, because they just don't have the nurturing as we did back in the day. And how to fix that is just putting down that phone, turning off the TV, and actually making a meal and sitting down or engaging the kids with the meal, you know, helping you cook or those type of things. That's the gap, and that's what's happening. We're not doing that anymore. Fast food is out there, and you know, time restraints is a part of our problem. But we have to allow our kids to be a part of us.
That is really true, because I remember growing up, when we had dinner, you couldn't talk on the phone and you couldn't watch TV. And I just think my dad was crazy as a bedbug, but that was the rule, and we had conversation. And I think someone else mentioned that once before that we had on the show, that we lack that when we sit down and have that family time. Everybody's doing their own thing, and if our paths cross, maybe for a family reunion or a birthday or something like that, that even in the same household, everybody is so divided. And I agree, that is something that really we can really work on as a whole.
Right, and that's important to a child to know. You know, you saying I love you and you're walking out the door, you have your phone in, and they're still sitting there and they need you, but the kids don't say, Mom, I need you. You have to know, look in their eyes and be around them to know that, oh, there's something wrong. They were bullied at school or something. The kids aren't going to tell you that. You have to really be with them.
Yep.
Yeah, so in other words, what you're saying, Mary, is that, you know, as a parent should be able to look in a child's eyes, you know, and see that there's a problem.
Yes.
you know. And you're right. I got to agree with you 100%. Because we can look at, you know, we can look at some, of our family members or friends. We can look at their face expression and say, and ask them, hey, is that a problem? You got a problem? No, are you looking some kind of way? Why can't we do that with our kids?
Right.
But then we have these kids that are professionals. And in defense, I'm not saying all parents are not paying attention or what you're saying is incorrect. But I've worked with some kids. They got a better game face than some grown people. They have learned how to disguise their pain. They have learned how to disguise their disappointment. And they're good. A lot of them, by the time you got to dig, to get in there. It doesn't always sit on top for a lot of kids because these kids are coming out so much smarter than us. I mean, some of them are doing at their age we wasn't even doing. And I've seen that they have some great game faces. And have you noticed that too, Miss Mary? Some of them, they're not that easy to detect what's going on because they have been hiding so long.
Yes, but I don't know. I call it discernment. I can go to my kids that come into the caring place, and I hug them, and I hug them like a mom, and I can feel. Sometimes they hug you so tight, you can tell they need you, but they won't say nothing. And sometimes you sit there and look at the body language, and I know you can put that on, but that body language, I know.
Yeah, because you're accustomed to those kids. But if it's somebody straight off the street you ain't never met, you know nothing about, you have never touched, you have never hugged, and I mean, you don't know them at all. And they came in smiling, hey, Miss Mary, you think they're the best kid in the world, and all of a sudden you find out they're demons after you know, the internal demons that they're struggling with in time. There are some kids out there that have great game faces. And it's because they have been put in adult positions where they've been taught to conceive and to hide and to manipulate in other ways. So maybe your kids, that is my LA kids, but I've seen it where they just have different things. So, you know, when you have those challenges, because I know every kid you walk in, you don't have it figured out. So when you do get those kids that you just can't figure out, what are some of the steps you do?
We actually have a time where all of them, how's your day? That is so important to ask the child, how was your day? And then they'll talk among themselves, and then they'll talk to us. Also, we use drawings. You know, draw your feelings today for the younger ones that just communicate their feelings. So we use some art projects that we do, but it's all about how are you feeling, because it's so important for us to be in tune to make sure they are safe when we walk out our doors. And we have kids that are hungry, and we talk about food, and I get an idea, they don't have food in their house. So we talk about many different topics where I do get to know what's going on. Most of them, not all of them now. There's some, trust me.
Yeah, you got some hard heads in there. Of course, everybody does. When you fear about the food, what do you do? Do you feed them? Because some people get embarrassed when you talk about being hungry.
Sorry?
Go ahead, hon. I say, every time I get ready to say something, Ms. J cut me off.
I don't even hear you, and I guess she don't either, because I swear I don't hear you. It's not intentional. I'll just get one more question in. When you talk about hungry, because I know a lot of kids go to school hungry, so I'm assuming they come to you hungry. What are some of the things you do to feed them, to not embarrass them? Because you don't really want to embarrass nobody and put their business out there. So how do you help them with things like hunger?
Well, we in the after-school program, we feed them as soon as they come in. They put their book bags down, they sit at the table, and we'll feed them dinner. And then before they go home, we get a snack. And in our summer program, we feed them breakfast and we feed them lunch. And everything is handmade. You know, chopping onions, we don't do canned and frozen and sandwiches. We give them a home-cooked meal. And because that's some of the times it's the only meal that they will have after their lunch. That's it.
Wow. That's pretty sad. Well, go ahead, John. I don't make you mad at me no more.
Okay, yeah. Ms. J, you know I ain't going to get mad at you. You know
you
can.
I don't even care, so keep it moving. Go ahead, Ms. Go ahead and get your story.
What I was saying, you know, like earlier I had asked you a question, and actually, you know, I was talking about the family dynamics, okay, where, you know, you got a child living in a house. Now, you should be able to pick up because you know your kids. Now, if you just thought, you know, the type of work you're doing, just a strange child, well, then it'd be hard to find out, you know, what that child needs, you know. But with your child, before you leave out that door, you should be able to look at your kids, you know, and pick up something if something is not right, because that's your child, that's your blood.
But
you know,
one thing the one thing about the caring place, if I believe God called me to do this, so he gave me the tools to take care of his kids, so that discernment, whether they're not strangers when they come to me, because I know when I see these babies that there's something wrong with them, and then I'll sit with them and tell you, it's kind of impossible to think I have 550 kids and you sit with all of them. Yes, I do. I'm there with them, and there's other people there also, and teachers, and we do the same thing, and we make sure they're individual. So yes, we do know most of these kids and working with them, because it's important that we do what God asks us to do, and he gives us the tools to do it.
Yeah, and they're in your hands, so it's important that you do use your discernment, because they're in your care and you're responsible. So to take responsibility seriously, that's a good thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like they said, the challenges, you know, and I'm quite sure it can be a challenge because, you know, the way the world is going with your internet, you know, social media, the kids get a lot of bad information on social media. They get good information, some of them too. But I'm quite sure the challenge is just hard, you know, to, with some kids.
You're right, John.
You know?
I agree. Because you got to understand, they don't have the discernment as an adult to make good decisions. I don't care how mature a kid thinks they are, they're still a kid. So they're going to make kid mistakes or young adult mistakes. And you're right, with social media and Tinder, you got these predators on Tinder picking up these little kids. They are everywhere doing it anyway, but I won't go into that. But what I'm saying is that they think they know, but they don't know because they're not fully grown. And even as a grown person, you're going to make mistakes.
Oh, yes, indeed. And I have babies that start out 6 years old, and what they know, I am so shocked. And I'm talking about adult things, and they start then. And I see my girls. There was a study. When do young ladies start to look for men or a spouse? And it starts when they're 6 years old because they hear mom and their girlfriends talk about they don't want to be lonely. They don't want to be an old maid. So they start to look for that because they think that's bad, being a woman alone.
That's absolutely true. I did research too. That is so sad. And it's the same thing by giving us the dolls. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with your girls who play with dolls. That's your thing. But that's also a training, that you're to have babies and take care of kids, and that was what you're supposed to do. And I used to hate dolls because I was like, I'm going to take care of nobody's kids. I thought that was so rude. The boys had all the cool toys, and we had the stupid doll babies. I was like, really? So I don't know. I think sometimes we socialize, and society determines some of our behaviors as well.
Right.
Mm.
But we try to put in the place of the loneliness and thinking you should have someone and at an early age. What else do you like to do? You know, do you like music? We'll have a volunteer to come in, and then we have piano lessons and violin lessons, and, you know, do you like, and then there's someone to come in, and then we'll, you know, we do art. And try and replace some of these things that you don't need right now and put that in their place. And also, we hope that they're engaging outside the center, that they were doing things other than the telephone and the TV with the video games.
Yeah. And I like the word you use, replace, because when you take something from them, you're giving them something to replace what you're taking from them. And I think that's awesome because they need that. You can't take and not replace. So I like that.
Wow. Yeah, I like that too. You know, it was I know this guy in Louisiana. What he's doing, he's getting kids that's coming out of jail and coming out of prison, young men's. And, you know, in prison, they have a lot of good artists. I'm talking about they can actually draw. And so he get these, and they draw, you know, they draw and paint and stuff, and you take them to different events, and they go display their art.
Yes.
And I thought that was very powerful. And I wanted to let the audience know, if you guys want to participate, ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1 and I'll let you in. Go ahead on, Mr.
I want to know, do you have any men that come in, you know, like that? I know you say it's ran by females, but do you have men in the community that come in and help you work with the boys?
We have a boys and men for as long as we've been open. That's actually one of our original programs. And we have incredible young men right now that have are alumni. And the one thing, they meet on a Wednesday evening, and they go to basketball. They have mentors at other people with other vocations that come in and show them that they can be that person. This is what you need to do. We have educators that come in from different colleges. We go on college tours. We do all kinds of things to help them become men because of the single parent household now and the absenteeism of men in their lives.
That's awesome.
Well, we have a caller want to either ask a question or elaborate on something. You guys ready to let them in?
Absolutely.
Okay. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name's Regina. I'm calling from Maryland.
Hi, Regina.
Hi. Hi. I'm just a disclaimer out there that I know Mary.
Oh, that's fine.
And I've been knowing her since I was in high school.
Wow.
And I know her heart. I know her passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she cares for these kids. And I think I'm listening that you guys communicate back and forth. I didn't catch your name. I caught John's name. I didn't catch your name, the host of the show.
My name is Ms. J.
Ms. J, okay. And it almost seems like Mary came into my life at a very difficult time. And I can tell you, she was a rescue. And I tell you, she still has an impact on my life. So those kids at the Karen place, when she tells you that she knows those kids and she knows their heart, she does. It's a God-given gift that she has, because she's been challenged on many fronts. But I tell you, it has been truly by the grace of God that she has overcome. And I lived in Allentown. I graduated from high school there, and I've been back there over the years. And it's a hard place for those kids, a very hard place. And I can tell you, without that caring place, those kids would have nowhere to go. And a lot more would be on the street. So,
you know, it's in every community. Everybody needs a Mary. Seriously. There's a lot of communities across the country need one that is self and they're loving.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's encouraging those kids, and more communities need to do it. We can't look at, sure, social media is an influence. TV, the rappers, all that, because kids see, I want to do those things. To me, they're unreachable. Not every kid is going to go pro in a sport. Not every kid is going to go and be famous. But what she's teaching them and giving them is life skills. Do something better for your life. Stop the cycle of poverty, of uneducation, of going out there and knowing that you can do whatever you want to do. And she's that positive reinforcement for them. And I've been there as an adult, and I watch. They love her. They love her beyond measure. So the care place is doing a great job. Of course, you need more support. But I tell you, she has given every bit of blood, sweat, and tear to that place and continues to do just that.
Well, I commend her, and we thank you for calling and sharing that, because that's why this is what this show is about, sharing information that other people are doing to uplift their community, to encourage other people to step out on their faith to do something in their community to make a difference. And that's what this show is. And so that's why Miss Mary is on here, not just because of her work, but also to be an example. We all, you know, John talked about earlier, and me and John always talk about, people always holler they don't have any money. And that was one of the things that I loved when I spoke to Miss Mary, was that money was not her factor. She took what she had and made it work. And I think a lot of us learn that, and just step out on that faith, we can do something great too. We can make some great changes. We can have young people calling in like yourself, speaking in our behalf, testifying to that it works. You know, and we know that we're smart enough to know as adults it does not work for every child. We can't save everybody. That's not the point. But the point is that the ones we can save that's what matters. And so that's really awesome. And so we appreciate you taking the time to call in. We thank you for that.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you. So sweet.
I mean, because you got to take your hat off for you, Miss Mary, because you can hear the emotion in her voice that you made a difference for her. She held it together, but me, I know when emotions are, because I'm emotional sometimes. I've cried on the show. And so you made a difference. And if, you know, I'm not saying you're not going to help anybody else, but, you know, if you don't help anybody else, you got that moment right now, this moment that you heard her testify to your greatness, your godness. That's major.
So Mary, I heard all the caring and the love out of that young lady's heart, out of her heart, you know, for you, you know, because you did so, you know, wow. I mean, it was just like, man, that's powerful, you know, to where you get a young person that's going to come on national radio. You know, we got a full board listening. There's people listening on the website. There's people listening on the telephone. There's people listening on Blog Talk. We got people probably overseas listening. And to hear, you know, this young lady just pour her heart and show all that love to you, that's amazing. I love it. That's amazing.
And you know what, John? The fact that she doesn't even live in Philly anymore. She lives in Maryland, which I know it's not far, but the fact that she's not even in the same area, and you still impact her life choices. You know, and I think as adults sometimes we don't realize our power of just being kind or just being there or just being supportive or just being caring. We underestimate that power. We really do sometimes. I think we're so busy being grown, we just miss that. And I think it's just remarkable that you hold on to that. You keep that you know, you keep that in your spirit because that's major.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I wanted to ask Miss Mary one more question before we go off air. Is that, you know, what was the biggest moment in your life since you've been having your organization, the caring place?
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest moment?
Right. Most fulfilling moment.
Oh. There isn't one. I can't pinpoint one, but when my kids come back and tell me how well they've done, and
yes.
So it's ongoing. I get them almost every week where someone, you calculate 500 plus kids times 21 years, and you get these kids that come back almost weekly and, "Hi, Miss Mary, I have a baby," or "I'm in college now," you know, that kind of thing. And I have a young man, since he was 15 years old, he went back to college and he comes back. And he has an office in the building. He's getting his doctor's degree in Pittsburgh University and in business. And he has never left. And I tell all my kids, I have them in Jamaica and everywhere. I mean, so many places that I tell them, we are in your life forever. Until God takes me home, you have me. You have my cell phone number, been there since day one. Our phone number is 433-LOVE, so they can't forget it. It's purposely done that way. So we want them to know that no matter what, good, bad, and indifferent, we are in your life forever.
That's so good. That's really nice.
It is.
So cool.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes left on the show, so I'm asking Ms. J to start closing this out.
All right, well, that went really fast. Well, first of all, thank you, Ms. Mary, for joining us. If you have, just really quickly, because we only have a couple of minutes, so let's make it quick. I don't want to run over. I'm bad at that. Can you just give us one more positive thing that you would like to leave with the audience for them to remember, you know, in their daily lives?
No matter how bad that it may look, you reach for God and pray, and He hears you. And He may not do it in a timely fashion when you want to, but He will answer your prayers.
Indeed. And Mr. John L. Brown.
Yes. I want to thank Ms. Mary Griffin for coming on the show, Uplifting Community Talk Show. It was something I got out of it, you know, and I'm going to let you know what it is, Ms. Mary. You know, always step out, put God first, and step out on, you know, because it was something that you mentioned. You mentioned that when you had got a phone, you had saw a building, you called this person told you that it was already rented, gave you another number, and when you walked up in there, you knew it was God. And them people let you have that building for $3. Listen, audience, she got the building for $3 for 3 months for her to station the caring place. With that said, back to you, Ms. J.
Absolutely. That was my favorite part, too. And the fact that she paid off her building, that's major, too, because now she owns it. But I really appreciate having you on the show. I thank you for sharing your information. I asked as many questions as I could because I wanted them to know, you know, really what you were about. And I hope that your example is an example for somebody else. And together, we will make a difference. Thanks for joining us. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.